cliffcentral.com.
Yo.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, Gareth, how's it going?
Good, you can hear me nicely?
Yeah, pretty clear, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah, sorry about the mix-up on Friday. We couldn't seem to get hold of you, but there is so much to catch up on here.
That's okay. I'm just glad that you guys are there this Monday morning so we can all get through it together. And our Mondays are.
Yeah, we're sort of living through your Instagram feed at the moment. I know Juice, Sia helped me out.
Yeah, did you see that as well?
Because they are literally posting every one of your pictures like you're on this most momentous voyage for humankind.
I'm paraphrasing here, but it was along the lines of, what was it, like Gareth Cliff living it up in South by Southwest.
Living his best life.
Yes, that was it. I literally found myself also clicking on it. I was like, what is Gareth Cliff doing?
You know, eating?
I am just blown away by how pitiful most of our news services in South Africa are. I mean, look, I'm not saying that I'm not having a great time over here or I'm not doing interesting things. But is it news? I mean, do you ever hear what Bill Gates did on his business trip last Thursday? Never happens. I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not even a 200 millionth as interesting as his life or his inventions or his developments or any of the stuff that he is involved in. They don't talk about his trips. It's ridiculous. I mean, these 24 should be ashamed of themselves having to use me to bolster their click rate.
Well, Gareth, obviously a lot of celebrities aren't very lit at the moment, so you're doing stuff.
That's you're the one.
You're the one.
That's probably fair enough. I mean, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king, right?
There's a lot of responsibility hanging on you right now.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, let me not be a complete bastard about this. Thank you, News24. I'm glad that you're as interested in what we're doing here as I am in what we're doing here. So, you know, I mustn't be a schmuck about it.
So you were there last year. What's kind of different this year? Is it more exciting? Are you learning more things?
It's so much. I would say that in the first 2 days of being here this year, it has already surpassed my expectations and every experience I had in the first year. Un-goddamn believable.
Wow, that's amazing because you're not overly impressed too easily.
Listen, yesterday I got to see such interesting people. Tim Ferriss, who a lot of people will know, He does a very successful podcast.
Yeah, he sort of shot to fame with that 4-hour work week thing.
Correct. And the 4-hour or the 4-something me eating. He's got like a whole bunch of books that are based on the same idea.
He doesn't mess around. Very, guy.
No, he's a very smart guy and he's cool. He's like, he wants to be a superhuman, which I always think is a terrific goal for everyone to have. Today, Mark Cuban, the billionaire who's recently come out guns blazing for Donald Trump and who made a lot of money in sport, Ben, you'll know who Mark Cuban is.
Also, he was an entrepreneur, wasn't he?
They say that in the TV series Silicon Valley, his character is based kind of on the guy who has the tequila.
Yeah,
I don't know if anyone's watched that, but that's kind of also part of his mythology. Casey Neistat was on yesterday, who Aria Kelman would have a complete coronary thrombosis to meet. Casey Neistat has got 60-something million subscribers on YouTube. He's right up there among the most successful YouTubers of all time. You know that video where he's just jumping off of cliffs and touring the world? And I think he made it for Nike.
Okay.
Unbelievable. I mean, he is a... He's a little rodent of a human being. He thought of lifts and he's completely unprepared for a world of fame and public speaking, but he's actually really cool. And I have to admit, even though I find him annoying, he's done tremendous things for content and branded content online, which is obviously the area we're involved in. So I learned quite a lot from his speech. I sat and listened to a woman yesterday who told us how she does genetic editing.
Wow.
which is spectacular, and I believe is probably going to be among the most important technologies that future humans look back on this time and thank us for.
Did she grow up on the island? Did she grow up on the island of Dr. Moreau?
No, she. no, she's tremendous. This woman. She explained to us how you do gene editing, which in itself was just remarkable. Her name is Jennifer Doudna. And just really clever. The chemicals used, it's almost like if you imagine your zip, and the left-hand side of your zip is your DNA, and the right-hand is your RNA that is made by the DNA. And the zip itself, the actual piece that moves up and down, that takes the two teeth and puts them together, that's like this Cas9 molecule. And they figured out how to very accurately chop a gene at a certain point and cut it off at the other point and then tie the DNA back together again. Remove parts that you need to remove and put in parts that you need to put in. It's absolutely incredible.
Okay, I did really badly in biology in school. Is this pre-fetus? I mean, how is this?
No. It can be done in adult humans as well. But where is Mabali? Is she alive?
Yeah, she's listening intently like we all are.
Oh, right? Hey, Mabs.
Hi.
Oh, hey, I didn't even know if you were there or not.
No,
you're
I'm
so
here.
Quiet.
Carry on.
Quiet like a mouse.
Yeah, well, I'm not needed every time.
Oh, I like to know you're there. You're my primary correspondent. I don't know who to write. I've got Ben and Sia yammering on in my ears. I don't know whether you're alive. Yeah, well.
That's what we do. Yammer on from 6 to 9 in the morning.
What did you do this morning? I was yammering to Gareth. And that's the no. Okay.
What can I tell you guys? The trade show, which I was at today, is just unreal. They showcase a whole lot of new inventions and things that are exciting to see, and like technology that's hopefully going to turn into big business opportunities for a lot of people. So I went on this thing called Birdly, where you lie down on a specially constructed chair. Ooh. There's a fan that's been built in front of your head, and you put on a VR headset and headphones. And you lie on this thing with your arms stretched out like you're Jesus on the cross, and you grab the wings, and you actually can flap the wings, if you can imagine.
What?
You flap the wings, and then this VR headset makes you feel like you're flying through New York City.
Wow.
And it is about as real as flying will ever be.
Just like a falcon.
It's just, yeah, like a falcon on a building top. It's, the experience is so real to your mind, because you know your senses can very easily be fooled, and if you're in these HTC Vives or any of those other headsets, you know, the Gear or any of those, it really does feel like you are in the space and in the place and in the moment. That you get off this thing afterwards, and it's only about, I spent maybe a minute and a half on there. I'll put the video up on Instagram and Twitter just now. But when you're up there and you're doing this, I say up there, you're down here, but it feels like you're up in the sky flying over New York. It takes you like a minute and a half when you get off the machine to ground yourself again.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I see, you'd probably scream the whole way through. But
see, that's what I'm thinking, because now I'm like, that's a lot to take in. If really your mind is taken to that point where you really do think you're up in the air, shucks, technology is something else, folks.
I think that would be one of the greatest YouTube videos of all time. Sia on this thing.
Sia will give it a pass, but yeah.
No, you know what?
You would love it. Sia, you would love it.
Yeah, after a few therapy sessions, maybe I shall, but not right now.
No, Gareth, from a certain perspective, obviously we did quite a bit of, we featured the design in Dabo recently here on the show. Is that kind of the closest thing that we have here in this country to what you're doing right now?
No, I can't say that. I know that the design in Dabo is terrific, but it's about design. This is unlike anything that we have in South Africa.
It's kind of like times 100 because of all the other elements that you speak of.
I mean, you think of the people who are speaking here. I mean, this afternoon, the two Stark girls from Game of Thrones were on stage interviewing the writers of the show.
Oh, wow.
So Sansa and Arya Stark, Maisie Williams, and I can't remember the other girl's name, but really great, great sense of humor, both of them. Just fun. I went and watched a talk by a guy, a Japanese guy, dresses like a rock star. I reckon if Randall were Japanese, he would look like this guy. And to prove the point, I'm going to post the picture just now as well. His name is Richiro Higashinaka.
Oh,
and he has built talking robots. They converse with each other. So the whole session was basically the robots in conversation, and we were just eavesdropping.
Like proper Westworld, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not the one robot wasn't Android. Its name is Android U.
Yeah, the Japanese are light years ahead with that kind of thing, hey?
Well, funnily enough, I mean, I saw there were displays here. It makes me kind of sad that South Africans are not showcased because we have great ideas. But our government spends all its money on fat, disgusting politicians rather than on taking great inventions and great business ideas and great products to things like South by Southwest. We could easily have our own store. The Mexicans do, the Canadians do, the Norwegians do, the Malaysians do, the Koreans, the Polish. I saw a Polish invention, Ben.
Yeah.
It's a device that you talk into underwater so that other people underwater can hear you.
What? That's genius. That's
clever,
what you want.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't really work in Cape Town because there's nothing of that, but up here it'd be great.
By the way, am I so out of the loop? There were huge fires in Cape Town over the weekend, and they cancelled the August, right?
Gareth, it was so bad. Cyclists were actually being thrown backwards. And they were being thrown into the air like E.T. That's how bad the wind was. So they had to cancel it.
Yeah, 15,000 people, Gareth, lost their homes in that fire.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
That is awful.
Mm-hmm.
I heard 9 people died even.
Yeah, well, look, if you listen to Twitter, it's because the whites are trying to kill blacks, apparently. It's the new thing. They're sending fires and floods. That's something I picked up over the weekend.
Look, I mean, when are we going to stop listening to these complete asinine idiots on Twitter? I mean, for God's sake, if that is where you get your news, then at least choose to listen to and to follow people who have brains. If you actually read – I'm sitting here in all this technological development, and I'm sitting here – with people from all over the world who are trying to make the world a better place. And I swear to God, thank goodness I've cleared out my Twitter of all those idiots. But if I had to be following the average Twitter feed in South Africa now, I'd feel like I was back in 1997. Because people's brains are up their backsides.
I'm glad you brought it up because for the last 2-3 weeks, I've purely been listening to podcasts. I have not been doing Twitter for anything other than actual sports searches. And it's amazing how much better my mind feels. Rather than scrolling and looking at stuff?
Well, a lot of people did also enjoy making fun of the cyclists.
Well, I mean, obviously.
who were apparently upset.
Who doesn't like to do that? Well, they take the – I mean, the Argus is like – it's like going to it's like going to church or to shul or to the mosque for cyclists. The Argus is the biggest thing in the universe. And for them, I saw the best – I think it was I don't want to misquote. It was a friend of mine, Chris, who said on Facebook, "I'm really sad they cancelled the August this year, the greatest race in the world, and the 40th time I've missed it."
Yeah.
So yeah, good.
But it was a retail.
But I know for.
It was a really tough week for cyclists, Gareth, because there was also those metered taxi idiots who also believe they're still living in the 30s. They caused a massive strike and they were blocking access to the airport. So imagine you've gone through the whole rigmarole of training for the August, buying a flight there, which is the most expensive flight in the whole year, I think. I think it's more expensive than the last weekend to go to Cape Town than it is for Christmas.
What?
And, well, let that be a lesson. Don't do the stupid cycling. I've said it how many times?
How many more signs do they need? So that a lot of people actually miss,
God hates you. I mean, if you're a cyclist,
their flights.
God hates.
If you're a cyclist, God hates you. Stop it. He's trying. He's sending messages from the universe. He sent weather from the worst parts of the globe. He's sent protesters. He's trying to get everybody to point to the obvious fact that road cycling is a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Yeah, no, it really is. But Gareth, wait, we've got breaking news. We have to just go to quickly breaking news. I need to get the official breaking news sound clip from you. You can't.
Right, I'll help.
You can't leave the country again without having that.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so last week there was a big story around.
Can I try and play it from this side for you? Maybe it'll work.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Nope. We aren't.
Sorry.
Yeah, we aren't hearing anything. Damn it.
Trying to get it. Okay, all right.
Well, I'm gonna try hype it up again. Breaking news, guys. Breaking news. Remember that story about the pregnant couple out of wedlock in Abu Dhabi?
Yes.
And they were held, detained, invaded, and all that kind of stuff. Well, they've been released.
Oh.
Lee has just WhatsApped us on the WhatsApp line, which is 079-748-2090, by the way, and said that breaking news, it seems the employer of these people got involved and sanity prevailed. And they've been released and go back to their lives of immoralness. That's good. The whole thing.
Immorality,
yeah. Sorry, it's just at least give me the longest message here. I'm picking out keywords.
Okay, including immoralness.
And making some up as I go along.
There we go.
So yeah, happy end. They are going to keep living in Abu Dhabi despite the fact that they are immoral.
Now, the employer had to step up and make a difference, not the South African government.
Well, the Department of International Relations said that there was nothing that they could do.
Uh-huh.
Well, according to Lee, who listens to an actual radio station, but then listens to the podcast of us.
Okay.
Lee said that this radio station interviewed the parents and everything's going to be okay.
So they are staying in Dubai.
Abu Dhabi.
Sorry, Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
Okay.
Girl, I would be out there with my 3 sacks of clothes out of within 2.3 seconds. No.
Right. So, Gareth.
Do you know who I met? Do we have to go to news already?
No.
We still have some time.
No, carry on.
There are a bunch of South Africans out here, actually. I met a couple of people in the street who stopped me, which I'm not used to in America at all. You know, in South Africa, I suppose a lot of people recognize me from TV and all the rest. But here, I don't ever expect to be stopped, and especially in Austin, Texas. But there are a lot of South Africans here. There are two guys. I'm actually having drinks with them tomorrow night, Ben. Mm-hmm. Pedri Vonnenberg and Lofi Eerloff, who used to coach the Lions.
Yeah, and
Pedri, famous rugby players.
Yeah, Pedri's actually coaching there now. He went over to go play, and now he's actually got a coaching job.
Right, and they've got an Austin rugby club that they've taken to the top of the charts. So that's quite something.
Oh,
yeah. Well, if you look at America, it's a sport that's slowly getting some recognition there. And when I mean slowly, obviously nothing compared to the big ones like baseball, basketball, football, that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's definitely opportunities going up there.
Michael Fassbender, you know, he is Magneto from the last X-Men movie, the Apocalypse one that we talked about just the other day.
Did you meet him and then ask him about this whole X-Men thing and how they feel hard done by?
No, I didn't know that was the story, but Michael Fassbender was there with two legendary directors, the director of The Thin Red Line, Terrence Malick, and who's the other dude? This is going to be so embarrassing for big movie fans because I should know this, but I'll remember his name just now. Anyway, they were all on a panel talking about filmmaking. There have been a couple of really interesting authors. You literally walk down the street here. I mean, I heard a story about a guy who went to a little speakeasy, which is like a bar, mm-hmm. In some part of Rainy Street, which is one of the main streets here in Austin. And they sat down next to a girl, and it was Scarlett Johansson, and they ended up talking for like 2 hours.
She's single. Ooh, Gareth, get in there.
She just got divorced.
I don't know that she's here now.
Okay, because she openly says she wants to bang new guys. That's why she got divorced.
I don't think that's what she said, Ben.
Okay,
well,
right.
I believe Charlize Theron is here now. There are a couple of you want to know who the famous people are?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just look out your window and tell us.
All right, let me get to the window quickly. Celebrities at South by, I can see, I'm just looking.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm just taking a look here now. Ryan Gosling is going to be here.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is quite exciting for some people. Who else is going to be here? I mentioned the Stark girls from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Fassbender, who I've already mentioned to you. Who else? Who else do we have here? We've got musician-wise, there are a couple of interesting ones coming in too. Let me just see. Joe Biden. Joe the Biden is here.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the vice president. He spoke today. I was kind of hoping to bump into him, but he wasn't around when I got there, so I was kind of upset about that. Doug Stanhope, my favorite comedian in the whole world, is coming to South by Southwest, and I'm going to get to see him on Tuesday night.
That's
at like 1:15 in the morning or whatever.
That's going
to
be
so, you guys might not. Yeah, you might not be able to talk to me then. I'm going to see if we can figure something out. But I am not going to miss Doug Stanhope. I don't care if I have to take those tablets that keep you awake, you know, those dangerous ones.
Oh, no.
Ecstasy?
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I'll find what I need to find. Ryan Reynolds is here.
Nice.
Down for that.
Garth Brooks. Wu-Tang Clan. How's that?
Ooh, very nice.
Buzz Aldrin, all you need is the Rocket Experience.
Okay, they're all there in a speaking capacity.
A lot of these people.
That's amazing.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
He's great, yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Wow.
John Cena, the wrestler from WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, that on the surface sounds odd.
Well, he's
Pierce
having
Brosnan.
A big week currently.
Pierce Brosnan? Is he going to be there?
Brosnan.
Is he going to be there as Mrs. Doubtfire?
Probably. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's in Veep.
Yeah.
John Hamm.
Oh.
And this is the best. You want to know the best thing? I can
Burt Reynolds.
I can die.
Burt Reynolds.
No. Damn it. Even better than that.
Oh.
And this celebrity started following me on Twitter yesterday.
Stop.
That's how you know you've made it, hey?
Dolly Parton.
No, better than that.
Better than Dolly Parton, Pamela Anderson.
Grumpy Cat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Grumpy Cat. I saw Grumpy Cat at the Fast Company Grill, and Grumpy Cat is now following me. I'm thrilled. I mean, shoot me dead. It's over for me after this. Everything's downhill from here on.
That's going to do wonders for your clout score, huh? That's it.
I know.
I mean, you must
Grumpy
be
Cat.
High up now.
Meowsers is jealous. I'm pretty certain of that. But in what capacity is Grumpy Cat there in?
Just, you know, Grumpy Cat's the most famous cat in the world. It's like the origin of all great memes can be traced to Grumpy Cat.
I hope it won't be a catastrophe.
But I want to know how old Grumpy Cat is now. And, you know, I actually want to interview the owner of Grumpy Cat because she.
Oh, let me tell you about
keeping Grumpy Cat up and awake on some medication because that's the golden goose. And cats are living.
I'll tell you something really funny. I met the guy. The owner of the Grumpy Cat's name is Tabitha Bunderson. Okay. And she's fucking grumpy as well. Which is hysteric.
She's got a cat's name, Tabitha.
No, she's a very angry woman. I mean, she's not a happy. She's grumpy as the cat.
Well, like owner, like pet.
Yeah, I met a guy who filmed Grumpy Cat once, and said the owner is a real bitch. Which is so funny. Anyway, the other director, the name I was trying to think of is Richard Linklater, who has. And some amazing movies. So anyway, I mean, it's all happening around me. It's all very exciting. I went out last night. Did we drink a lot? Oh, Jesus. I met a Brazilian girl called Mariela.
Oh, was she attractive? You know those Brazilians?
Well, she's Brazilian. Mm-hmm. I mean, we drank so much tequila. I woke up this morning and I felt like I had been attacked by crows.
Yeah.
Yes, it was tough. But I went through the whole day. I didn't fall asleep in any of the classes, the lectures, the sessions. And by the way, I did my session on Friday with Brett Loebscher of WeChat. The two of us were on a panel.
I'm going to ask firstly, how are the Americans pronouncing Brett's name?
Brett Loebscher. They know what to do.
Wow. Then you know you're at a sophisticated place.
Yeah, and you have to pronounce certain things with an American accent, otherwise they don't understand you. So you got to say, I'd like a cup of coffee, or I'd like a glass of water. Otherwise, they don't know what you mean, even here in Texas. In fact, in Texas, you got to put a little different spin on it. You got to say, I'd like a glass of water, please, and could I have some coffee?
You've got to be extra with it.
But it's amazing. Like, Austin is just such a cool place. It is so... what's the word? Cosmopolitan. It's very sophisticated here. It's more like San Francisco than it is like San Antonio.
So it's kind of like progressive hipsters who basically get stuff done.
Yeah, there are a lot of hipsters. Yes, that is true. There are way too many hipsters here, actually. They have beards. They have hats. Again, there are so many of these creative types that if that's what you're into, you will have no end to the amount of fun that's available. But I will tell you, if you haven't followed me already on Instagram, and if you don't like Instagram, I'm sorry, but it's the best place to put some of these pictures. I've seen such dreadful and such amazing people. I've taken pictures of all of them, the ugly ones, the good-looking ones, the interesting-looking ones, the weird ones. Because, you know, the theme, the whole idea here is that they want to keep Austin weird. That's the motto. So I will explain on my blog in the next day or two what the origin of Keep Austin Weird is. And I want you to go and look at the pictures that I put up, because there are pictures of everything, grumpy cat, and there are pictures of people, and there are pictures of amazing inventions. I mean, there's this machine I posted a pic of. It's like a video, actually. This machine that looks like a bunch of tits.
Oh, no.
And if you touch them, they grow.
Mm.
My buddy, you'll love this one.
Of course I will.
It's beautiful, like about 9 or 10 tits on a thing, and you touch them and the tits grow. It's just great. You'll love it.
Sorry, guys, just one more question about Grumpy Cat. Is there a session where you can go and take a photo with Grumpy Cat?
No, Grumpy Cat. Although a plane did fly past with a big banner with Grumpy Cat on it, looking even more grumpy than I thought it was possible to be. Okay. Please go look. You have to go and see the titty machine. You have to go and see the Uncle Sam poster that follows you around. If you walk in front of it, it follows you with its eyes, and it points at you. So if you're on the left, it'll look at you and point at the left. If you move to the middle, it'll look right at you in the middle, and if you move to the right, it'll do the same. But it changes its expression and everything. It's unreal.
It's like the technological upgrade to the Mona Lisa that would follow you with your eyes.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, well,
wow. Go and take a look. I mean, there's too much for me to tell you all about in one day.
Okay, so on Instagram, GR Cliff, I really hope you washed your hands after touching that boob machine, though. It doesn't look great.
It's so awesome.
Is a bit.
It is, well, so awesome.
Gareth, so rest of the week. Are you there all of this week, right?
I'm coming back. We're actually leaving first thing on Thursday morning, which means I will only be back on the show on Monday next week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a whole week, but I will try to connect with you guys tomorrow night, even if it's just so you can say hello to Piedri Vandenberg or whatever.
Okay.
And then what we'll do is we'll try to talk again on the following morning, Wednesday morning, but I am going to that Doug Stanhope show, so I'm not sure how we're going to do that yet. Okay. I'll have to find a way.
Okay. Well, look, when I wake up, I'll just message you and we chat to you, or we don't. So
yeah, let's try it. I mean, it would be great. I'm going to have so much to tell you when I get back anyway. And please, if you want to tweet me or you want to send me info, then the best way to do that is at Gareth Cliff on Twitter and GR Cliff on Instagram. It's pretty cool. You can go and comment on the pics as well. Tell me what you want to see more of, and I'll try and get it. There are great musicians pulling in this week because the music starts this week as well. The film part of it starts this week. So as I said again, who knows who I might bump into? Who knows who I might get to interview? Lance Armstrong may be on the cards.
Ah.
Probably on the streets as well. He's got a terrible drinking problem nowadays, apparently.
Well, that's where I'm expecting to see him, Ben. And how dare you? We're all dealing with our lives, you know? If you want to stay at home and not be drunk like the rest of us in South by Southwest are, then so be it, Jedi.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, Lance is safe in Texas. That's where he's from, Texas, so he can stay there.
Yes, that's
like, true. He's got safety there. And he even welcomed Oprah into Texas.
Well, you see now, I mean, Sia, isn't that a good enough reason to love the guy?
You see, you know what? I actually heard what he was saying about the Big O and after their interview. So, yeah, that's actually something to talk about a little later.
You know what? Surprisingly, Lance Armstrong has had quite the balanced life. At one point, he was a supreme athlete.
And now he's a supreme alcoholic.
He battled the whole cancer thing. And now he's balancing it out by being an alcoholic.
That's
that to me speaks balance. I don't care what anybody says.
And what have you done? You didn't win any Tour de France's either.
Well, either did he.
How dare you? Exactly. So I said either. Come on.
All right, Gareth, we'll let you go there. We've got some news. Anthea's here. We've got a big Monday ahead. But yeah, I hope you have a great time today. Oh, sorry, not today. You're going to sleep now. Yeah, the rest of the week. And hopefully catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, go and check out the feed. I'm going to post a whole bunch of stuff. Ben, there's a nice picture of me with a box on my head, which magnifies my head and makes me look like a bobblehead.
Yeah,
I said the first time I've actually had a head as big as yours. So people must go and take a look at that too.
Okay. All right, Gareth. Thanks for joining us.
All righty. Thanks, guys. Speak to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for some news. The news today is brought to you by Kolkakia Pizzeria. I know it's Monday, but you don't have to cook on a Monday. You want to keep the weekend going, Kolkakia Pizzeria. Look out for it. Right, Mabali, what's going on?
Okay, less exciting than the first half hour of the show, but there was a kidnapping story over the weekend basically had people feeling like they had front row tickets to a movie of some sort.
Ooh.
So it all began on Friday at around 11:30 a.m. where police were first notified of a hijacking incident that had taken place at Cityview Shopping Center in Greyville. The mother, a woman by the name of Zwongile, told officers that she had been forced out of her car, her white Toyota Yaris, along with her 8-year-old son, and that her baby, Siwapiwe, was taken by the gunmen who sped off with her. Then later on that afternoon, police and vehicle tracking officials recovered the stolen Toyota Yaris. It was found in Montclair. Siwapiwe was nowhere to be found, and items like her booster seat, her nappy bag, all that stuff was missing. The car had not been damaged, and the keys remained in the ignition. Then later on that evening, police released a picture of baby Siwapiwe Mbambo. And, you know, they appealed for anyone with information regarding her whereabouts to come forward. Early on Saturday morning, a coordinated search by police, including sniffer dogs, security companies and volunteers began in an area where the car had been found. No trace of the baby was discovered. By 4 p.m., detectives had detained two women and a man for questioning. And according to police spokesperson Sally De Beer, she had said at the time that serious discrepancies had arisen while interviewing the mother of the child, which then led to her arrest. So seemingly mother of the child involved in the said kidnapping. And by Sunday, the father of the baby had made his way to Durban, where the police had managed to recover the baby at the Merrion Hill Toll Plaza. He was just refusing to speak to the media. But yes, what? I mean, oh, goodness. I don't understand humans. I don't, there were a lot of allegations being made. Apparently the woman had executed this plan because the father of the baby is all moneyed up and she was looking for him to pay, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, there you go, you know, an entire mother putting, you know, just essentially using her baby as a prop.
Collateral, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all just come a bit closer because I have some tea to spill.
Okay.
So my sister from Durban was visiting us last weekend.
Okay.
Now there was minding my own business. Mm. We're sitting together in the lounge on Friday afternoon and she like gasps as she like opens her phone. So there's this WhatsApp group at work and she goes, oh my goodness, my colleague's daughter has just been kidnapped. I'm like, hold up. Then she starts talking about this. And initially we were all shock, horror, gasp. And as the story develops over the weekend, we do pin the two together that this is my sister's colleague. So now I was the one, because I was up early yesterday, and I was the one who let her know, like, yo, your colleague has been arrested. So she's currently on her way to Durban, like back to work now. Now, all I'm saying is I think it's her duty to report back to us.
Not completely.
To give us fresh
tea. You must
tea.
Push us, yeah.
So literally actually like text her on the go to find out, like, is she at the office? Can she tell us anything? And let's see if we can Skype with her as well.
So we're about to force your sister to become a brand new correspondent for the show.
Are you being ungrateful?
I love it. No, I there love it.
So yeah, we'll take our breaking news where we can get it.
Let's make this happen.
We have very reliable sources and your sister fits this like, description
it's
here.
It's bizarre because she says, like, this is the most wholesome, nicest person you'd ever see, seemingly.
Those are the ones you've got to watch out for.
Look
at Mabali and I. We are not wholesome and nice. We're dependable, though. Good people, because we're not trying to make you think we're nice.
But at least we let you know up front that we're horrible people, so you know what you're dealing with.
Shucks. It's an unfortunate story, though.
It is unfortunate. Yeah, but it's like, how sad a lot of these stories, whether it be murders, kidnaps, all that kind of stuff, it comes back to it's all in-house, so to speak.
Again, you know, another classic example of a lot of crime-related incidents, so to speak, very much in-house. It's always somebody you know, an uncle, an estranged brother, the neighbor. It's always somebody that you know.
But Ramon made a good point over the weekend on Twitter. It's like, can a mother kidnap a child? Even if it's not directly. Kind of opens up a can of worms here about the terminology, right?
I know of a couple where the mother had taken the children away, and for like a 72-hour period, the father of the children did not know where the children were. And I was told by a lawyer that the father is well within in his rights to press charges against the mother in an incident like that. So it sounds to me like a mother can be charged with nefarious things involving her children.
Yeah, the premise is the same. If you take a child without the consent of someone, i.e. in this case, being the father of a child, that's kidnapping.
I'm just so happy I'm born already and I'm already an adult. Well, it doesn't seem kids have it easy nowadays. It really doesn't. I know we see more news nowadays, therefore we see more of what happens in the world.
Yeah.
That's not cool though, huh? I'm very worried about your health. I mean, as someone who was poorly for a while, you, on the other hand, I'm really worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too, Ben. For the most part, I'm annoyed.
On Friday, you left here physically. You were actually malfunctioning. Mm. And now it looks like the frog is back in your throat.
I mean, I don't know what else to do, because I've always known that I have a weaker immune system than most.
You've got the asthma as well.
And at best, you know, my body, my physical body is just revolting. So I don't actually know what to do.
As in, your body is fighting back? It's not terrible.
I don't know what to do.
It's just given up in revolt.
It's not revolting.
No, it's just gross. My body's gross.
Oh, no.
All right. What else we got in the headlines? Gross or otherwise?
Okay. So then yesterday, the Democratic Alliance, they questioned the social development minister, Bathabile Dlamini's motives in insisting that cash paymaster services continue to pay out the social grants. This is after the Constitutional Court had ruled that the contract that CPS had with SASSA was invalid. That contract comes to an end on the 31st of March. And remember, by the 1st of April, the department said that everybody would be paid. So we'll wait to see how that unfolds. But in the meantime, the DA received confirmation from the Social Development Department to their application, confirming that no new contract exists between CPS and SASSA. And so with less than 3 weeks until the invalid contract is set to expire, Bridget Masango said that with less than 3 weeks to go, this confirmation was a damning indictment on the inability by the minister to ensure that the 17 million poor and vulnerable South Africans will in fact receive their grants. Then the DA also noted the media reports that apparently President Jacob Zuma's special advisor, that would be Michael Halley, he has apparently been playing some other role in what people have described as secret meetings between the president and the South African Social Security Agency. But the presidency yesterday was very quick to flatly deny this. They said in a statement that they had noted the report, which was made by the Sunday Times, stating that Halley had been participating in these secret meetings with top managers. They said the presidency is not aware of the said meetings. Halley played a role in ensuring that CPS would keep the lucrative contract, which the Constitutional Court had deemed invalid, to deliver more than 17 million social grants to recipients. You know, the more the story unfolds, just the more plot twists we discover, the deeper it just goes. I don't know at this stage. I'm barely managing to keep up myself.
Just imagine your life. If your life is primarily defending Jacob Zuma legally, what a world you must live in.
You've got to be very creative, hey? At all times, you've just got to be, you've almost got to be like a script writer or a movie director, yeah, and be able to find new, yeah, angles, put a spin on things.
All while having the hide of a buffalo in order to get through all this.
Yeah. At least it's lucrative, though. I mean, can, sure, you imagine how much money this Michael Hulley guy is making? It must be damn lucrative, I imagine.
Yeah, I reckon there's a separate pay division in the Treasury just for Michael Hulley.
Sure. Sure. Oh, absolutely.
All right, Babs, any more headlines you need to know of?
No. More stories after 7.
Well, I hope one of the other stories you have is Claudie looks to be becoming an MP now as well.
I do have information,
yeah,
on that.
I did pick it up at the weekend and I just thought, wow. Wow, wow. This is going to be the news a week we're going to have. Claudie is going to become an MP, I think, somewhere in the Free State, according to various sources over the weekend.
Yep, it is his own home province.
It is his home province. And, you know, this is how democracy works, right? Now, this is the problem with democracy. In theory, it works for everyone, right? But in theory, you can manipulate the hell out of it. Because that's how get into power in the first place? It's not because of some moral compass says this is the right person.
Mm-mm.
Your moral compass?
It's popularity, it's votes, it's manipulation, it's influence.
And it's knowing the right people.
Exactly. And with Brian Malefa becoming an MP after just basically doing nothing at Eskom, and now Claudie also paving his way towards political greatness, it just goes to show that democracy is what you make of it.
Again, reminders of how lucrative it is knowing the president.
And it's so lucrative, exactly. Right, time for some sports. Boom, and England have done it. They have matched the record for most wins by a Tier 1 nation. Now, I say Tier 1 because Cyprus actually has the most international rugby wins of any nation in the world. But Cyprus don't really count because, I mean, I've never seen them play rugby. So let's just go past the semantics of that one. So England have, they've won the Six Nations now. They absolutely thrashed Scotland, 61-21. Now, Scotland were having a decent year up until now. They had some pretty interesting wins. They beat Ireland and Wales. But unfortunately, England kind of flexed their muscles and 61-21. Scotland were embarrassed and they said so as much. Their defense was terrible. But that's it. England wins. So now England have the chance to be like basically break new ground and have 19 consecutive test match wins. No other country's ever done it before. They have that chance. Ireland stand in their way this coming weekend. And with that, England can also then have they've already got the back-to-back Six Nations, right? But now if they win against Ireland, they get the Triple Crown. There's all these little sub-motivational things that happen with Six Nations people. Anyway, but everyone is focusing on the whole 19 thing. And of course, there's a big debate happening around, are they as good as the All Blacks? Well, I'm actually going to Supersport today. I'm having a bit of a chat with some rugby guys, and we're going to be debating such a thing. So I'll be sharing that with you because I think it opens up some very interesting questions about how rugby is evolving. Not so long ago, it was Southern Hemisphere's the absolute best. If you look back at the last World Cup, all of those teams bowed out by the semis. It was basically the rugby championship was the semifinals, and this was being hosted in England. But there's been great sort of movements by England in particular. If you look what they do at youth level, incredible. Sevens rugby, they're coming through there as well. They won the Vancouver Sevens yesterday, beating the Blitzboks in the final. They seem to be the only team that can actually beat the Blitzboks right now, are England. And now 18 wins on the trot. And also goes to show, if you get a great national coach who is left to his own devices, rather than being told what to do by a whole bunch of incompetents, as in Saru, this is what could happen, the world. Take note. In other rugby news, Chiefs, they had a good win over the Hurricanes in Super Rugby on Friday night, 26-18. Six Nations-wise, that doesn't really matter because England have won it. But if you were wondering, France beat Italy, Wales beat Ireland. In Super Rugby, so Hurricanes, yeah, they went down for the first time in the season, losing to the Chiefs, 26-18. Brumbies with a decent win against the Force, 25-17. Then the Blues, they were at home to the Highlanders, and the Highlanders got a good win there. And the Crusaders, 2 weeks in a row out of jail, 22-20 over the Reds. So the Reds, they could have been 3 out of 3 so far, but they've lost two games, two late losses against the Sharks and the Crusaders. Rocky, rocky start. The Kings, well, predictably, they went down to the Stormers, 41-10, the final score there in PE. Not so predictably, the Cheetahs actually had some tough work against the Sunwolves. They were down for in places of this match, but they eventually got through 38-31 against the Sunwolves, who are, I reckon, the weakest team in this tournament. But the Cheetahs were run all the way through. Sharks very good against the Waratahs. Didn't get the bonus point, but they were just completely in control of that match from start to finish. 37-14 in the end. And then the Lions, they went to Argentina and they went down 36-24 to the Jaguares. The ref wasn't great, but either were the Lions, especially in that first half. So that was that. In football news, interesting stuff in the Nedbank Cup maps. Last week, we had some interesting names to kind of conjure with. Turns out some of them are not completely crap. Just to go through the results here, Jomo Cosmos, they beat United Rovers 3-0. Baraka FC 2-0 against FC Cape Town. Bloem Celtic 2-0 over Buya Musutu. And that's where everything was kind of going to plan for all the big seeded teams. But then, Kwadukuza United 2, IS Cape Town 2, went to penalties, and Kwadukuza United beat IX Cape Town, the top flight team, 3-2 on penalties.
We love an underdog, always.
Yeah, but these are like proper underdogs. But wait, it gets better. Okay, Kaizer Chiefs, they beat Stellenbosch, easy game. Highlands Park, we're down to Free State Stars, predictable. Golden Arrows beat Maritzburg United 3-1. Mbombela United beat Days FC 5-2. But then the biggest shock that I've heard in local soccer so far is Cape Town City. We all know they're really great, right? Last week they beat Sundowns. They won Telkom Cup, I think it was. They lost 1-0 to Acorn Bush.
Acorn Bush. I don't think I've heard of them until this very second.
Acorn Bush, and I don't mean this in disrespect to them, sounds like a box wine. It's like it's Friday night, you haven't got much money. I just get the Acorn Bush. Mm. Come, let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's get hammered. Acorn Bush beat Cape Town City 1-0. ECBs, they were swatted away by Orlando Pirates. And that was the Nedbank Cup over the weekend. Very interesting. But then the FA Cup, all eyes were on that, hoping for more fairy tale results. Well, there were no fairy tales whatsoever. Lincoln hammered 5-0 by Arsenal. Millwall hammered 6-0 by Spurs. So they go to the smaller teams. Man City also pushed through 2-0 over Middlesbrough. So we've got Man City, Arsenal and Spurs all going through. Then tonight, another big team is guaranteed promotion to the next round there. Chelsea versus Man United, 9:45. Huge grudge match. There was an amazing smack talk happening last week. Because you know Man United have gone through this whole unbeaten streak, right? They're doing really, really well. No one seems to be beating them. But the thing is, there's a couple of disappointing draws here while other teams are still winning. And Chelsea were trolling them, saying in this unbeaten streak, they've gone from fifth to fifth. Oh. Just throwing the barbs in there early is absolutely brilliant. And that was like an official release from the club itself. In cricket news, unfortunately, rain ruined the fifth day of New Zealand versus SA, that test match there. So that one is a draw. But now Ross Taylor and Trent Bolt looked unlikely for that second test starting this Thursday down in Middle Earth. So Proteas could be able to wrap the series up there should they do well in this next test. And then India versus Australia, which is becoming basically just people acting like basic bitches. They are shouting at each other, calling each other cheats and this and that. And Faf du Plessis rightly said that he's very surprised that nobody has been fined or charged by these massive spats, because we all know that cricket is run by three countries, right? India, Australia, England. So if you play for those three countries, you can literally pull your cock out on the pitch and do what you want. South Africa, all the other teams, you fall foul of the rules in the slightest possible way, you will be fined your match fee and you will be accused of war crimes. So no fines there. Thursday as well, that test gets going. Golf from the weekend at the Valspar Championship, Adam Hadwin won that. And then the Hero India Open, SSP Chaurasia, which is probably the best name for an Indian golfer playing on the European Tour. He won by 7 shots. Now, SSP is a hometown favorite. In the Indian Open, he's finished second, first, and first. And he won by 7 shots on ridiculously difficult Mr. Gary Player Country Design Country Club. Amazing result there. Finally, Maria Sharapova comes back into the action pretty soon, and one person who I have a lot of respect for, Caroline Wozniacki, said this is bullshit. She must start at the bottom like anyone else. It's one thing when you get injured for a long time and you come back, because her world ranking is gone, Sharapova, right? Because she's been out for so long. So Wozniacki says, look, I mean, she's done something wrong. She's fallen foul of the rules. It's been found like that. You can dispute if she's been taking drugs or not, all you want, if they were legal or if it was just discrepancy on her managerial part. The problem is, it's been a performance-enhancing thing. She shouldn't be able to come back the way she has. And, of course, everyone who loves Maria Sharapova, an alarming number of them, they all now hate Wozniacki. You go, Caroline Wozniacki. You keep saying the good things.
I hear Caroline Wozniacki, and in principle, I agree with her. But unfortunately, in the real world, the scandal surrounding Maria Sharapova's return is big business.
Yeah.
So it's in the organizers' interests if, you know, if she's back, because there's all of this mystery and intrigue surrounding her now, and they know that she's going to pull massive crowds. Well, I mean, it's purely a business decision, isn't it?
Spot on. That's a good point. We'll end off with that. If Maria Sharapova looked like, I don't know, Sarah Jessica Parker, she would not be getting sponsor invites, right?
So are you saying that this is
Sarah Jessica Parker looks like a foot? It's been said before. It wasn't my line.
No. I are you saying that this is a, because we have all types of privilege these days now, Ben, is this a pretty privilege
we
situation?
We spoke about this recently.
Pretty privilege is a real thing now.
There we go. It really is. And Maria Sharapova is just lapping it up. Anyway, that's the sports. More sports today on The Bounce Show. I've got a great interview with Garth Milne, who basically is, he's a superstar creator in golf. Really great interview there. 10 o'clock this morning here on Cliff Central. But right now, it is The Finance with Anthea. I've done it again. This is my Achilles heel in life.
It's okay, Ben. It's okay. A Monday.
Right. And here with The Finance, it is Anthea. I don't know if Donna Summer is sick of the song now. Because you know she listens to it every single day. She's thinking, damn you. We have a royalty issue soon. Anthea, what's going on in the finance?
Ben, we had a good day on Friday. So the all share was up about 85 basis points, so 0.85%. I mean, slow volumes, $1.2 billion traded. The rand very much stronger, 13.16 to the dollar. Pretty much in line with emerging markets, though. I mean, that's kind of where it's at. It's got nothing to do with us, really.
Well, that must have soured your Chardonnay on a Friday. That's a little strength.
Well, at least the market was higher. And in fact, some of the shares that I follow or own were higher. So, you know, this whole like correlation between rand hedges, weaker rand, higher rand hedges, just is not working. I mean, so resources were down 9 basis points. Industrials were up over 1%. And you would think it's the other way around. So the stronger rand would normally send Naspers lower, but even Naspers was up 3% on Friday. It's very odd. There's still lots of worries around the mining charter. Everyone's talking about it and kind of what they're going to say and what they're going to do and how it all unfolds. So that's a bit worrying. Gold's absolutely got crushed again on Friday. Goldfields and Sibanye-Stillwater being the biggest drag on the top 40 index. The sector was down 7% for the week. I mean, luckily though, Lonmin, you remember we spoke about it last week because they're looking to potentially do a capital raise or they're not looking, we're speculating they're going to have to. They caught a bit of a bid. The share was up just over 3.5% on Fridays. And then despite, I said, the stronger rand, Steinhoff was up almost 1%. Good for retailers, of course. Generally, they did okay. Woolworths was up 2%. And then TMTs were quite strong, you know, TMTs, technology, media, telecoms. Vodacom was up 3%. Even MTN was up just over 1% on Friday. The hospital groups were mixed, but luckily for us, Mediclinic caught a bit as well. They were up 1.4%. The story there is that it looks like the Swiss tax levy that potentially they were going to be imposed on them is now less likely to happen. And then, of course, Ascendus Health continued up 4% on Friday. This is just, they've had a great run last week after their results, really looking good. And then the one company I want to focus on a little bit today is Aspen, the pharma care company. I mean, they were down 1% on Friday. Management had a conference call with investors. The share was down as much as 5% during intraday trade. I think, Maybe management don't always know the right things to say on these conference calls. So on the surface, I thought the numbers looked decent, but there is a big cash flow issue which investors are not liking. And then the company made a point of highlighting currency will strongly influence the second half of this year's earnings growth. And at spot, the rand is about 18% stronger year on year against the euro. And Europe accounts for 20% of revenue for Aspen. So all things, all this being equal, it shaves off about 4% of the second half revenue growth, which we don't like. I mean, you'd think with all these negatives, it looks bad. But actually, I think you can expect higher revenue growth in the than the first half. And a couple of things there. They bought into AstraZeneca. They bought basically not just into, but they actually bought the AstraZeneca anesthetics portfolio, as well as the GSK, the GlaxoSmithKline anesthetics, and the thrombosis medicine. I think they call it thrombolytics or something. Thrombosolytics, something like that. Anyway, and I think that together is going to add about £100 million of revenue. So lots going on. I mean, Aspen really has just been a major disappointment for us. What should probably, I mean, I still expect about 15% stronger. It's so difficult to say, but I do think the worst is out of the way. And so I'm just going to hold on to the share for a bit longer. I'm just going to stick with it.
Anthea, I know in your professional capacity, you probably wouldn't, you know, lose your cool, but do you ever go into these meetings quite frustrated with these people and ask really tough questions?
Oh, all the time. With management. Oh, absolutely.
But it's a quite commonplace that sometimes these meetings get a bit heated because expectations are obviously needed to be matched.
Yeah, and it's quite funny because you're just a shareholder and an analyst and an investment manager, and they actually run the company. So you need a bit of respect, and they deserve respect for running these big companies. But like, there are stages where you just go, are you kidding? Mm. No, can you not do that? And then just give me the right answer. There's a lot of that. I think we generally try to be civil about it. I mean, you know, we're not activist shareholders, so we don't go in there.
It's not parliament, basically.
Yeah. And we don't try to tell them what to do. We're more trying to coax out of them what they are doing.
Right.
But you do get activist shareholders who will go in and say, your governance is wrong and this is it and that's it. So we run long-only money. In other words, we only buy shares. It's not a hedge fund. We don't short shares in Cartesian Capital. But there are the activist shareholders would physically go and short the share. Lots of them in America seems to be the way to go.
It's kind of like, you hear that in that show Billions quite a lot.
Shorting.
When they're not having these strange homoerotic moments with each other, they're always talking about shorting on certain intel and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So that actually does happen a lot. Mm. The hedge funds. It's a very different game, shorting and going long shares. Like buying shares, you can lose, you can only lose the money you've put in. Whereas when you short a share, you can lose more than you've put in.
Right.
So it's a dangerous game to play. But it's interesting. I mean, like, obviously, if you either like a share or you don't like a share, there generally isn't a middle ground. You either, like, a share doesn't, hardly ever stays in the same place, right? It's either going to go up or it's going to go down. If you think it's going to go up, then you must buy it. If you think it's going to go down, in my case, you don't own it. But if you're a hedge fund, then you actually short it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, lots of, that is fun. Like, that whole kind of scenario of trying to appease each other, I think. And it's funny, I think the companies that communicate the best with the best management are the ones that do better, generally speaking. Talk about companies that communicate. Tongaat put out a trading update on Friday. Now, unfortunately for Tongaat, they do not have a reputation of communicating all that well.
All right.
So they said on Friday that sugar production is expected to grow significantly over the next 2 years because of the drought conditions. We're now seeing some recovery. Starch operations will benefit from the recovery in the South African maize crop. The share was up 4% on Friday. Still no news on selling of land parcels. And so this is what we're waiting for because, what, 2.5 years ago now, they said to us, you know, we bought the share because they said this is what they're looking to get. The price, they told us the price they were looking to get per acre of land in the Tongaat region. And it kind of just hasn't come to fruition. And every time you ask about it, it's like, oh, in the future or potentially. And that kind of lack of communication, I guess they're probably concerned because, you know, they can't say, well, foreigners are not coming in to buy because then everyone would sell their share. And it is a share that's come under pressure.
It is quite a difficult thing because it's been such an amazing growth on that whole north coast of KZN. So they're kind of hoping that boom would continue and then they'd be sitting pretty.
Exactly. But it seems that that boom hasn't continued.
Which doesn't, yeah. That's so interesting. Hey, there you go, a sugar producer kind of person primarily.
Turn real estate.
But they need the real estate to happen for them to really kick on.
Exactly. Okay, so there wasn't much else in the local market. That's pretty much it. But then in the U.S. on Friday, non-farm payrolls was released. The U.S. created 235,000 jobs in February. We were expecting, or the market was expecting, 200,000. Unemployment is now 4.7% in America, so that's amazing.
So they've actually got better.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Who the hell does Donald Trump think he is? First proper month, and he's created more jobs. What absolute dick. Oh, that must be stopped right now.
So this is the great thing, because he's absolutely taking credit. This, in fact, was the first major economic report that covered the full period. That was the full period for him. And he's totally taken credit, even though during his campaign, he called the jobs report fake and said the unemployment rate was a hoax. So there you go. I mean, because, you know, obviously,
he was just briefed wrong, Anthea.
Oh, I see.
That's all.
So it wasn't that he disliked Barack Obama and that he hated that Obama was creating hundreds of thousands of jobs every month. It wasn't that then. Okay.
No, don't be silly
of me. And then lastly, on the front page of Bloomberg this morning, there was a story, and this is kind of International Bloomberg, the release of the ANC policy document ahead of the conference on the 30th of June. This was this morning's story. And the ANC released this policy document yesterday. Bloomberg quoted the documents as saying the presidency must be strengthened as the strategic center of power in the state. I think this is going to cause a bit of consternation and a bit of concern with foreign investors. I mean, I can't imagine foreigners will take well. We know that there's a fight for the keys of the treasury, and to me, it just does not work. It just seems all completely wrong. You know, this narrative that they now want to give the presidency more power.
It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It isn't something you give. It is something that is put in place to help run the country. It's not someone. It's not a teddy bear.
Yeah. And I think everybody has focused previously on the electoral conferences, which happen, I don't know, towards the end of the year, November, whatever. But I think this is probably the more important one. I mean, the party did say they must work to restore the moral character and win back public trust. I think maybe then don't give the presidency more power.
Well, it's quite simple, really. Like, if you're the stupid kid in class, you don't get more responsibility. You get told to get better, or you get sent outside. The state can have, in my eyes, can have everything if they do everything great. But when you do very little great, you should probably have very little.
I mean, I'm not sure that it's even very little great. I actually think it's just bad.
Yeah.
So I'm a little
bit tired of saying bad.
I mean, so on the 2nd of June, we've got S&P, the ratings agencies, and I honestly think we stand a fairly good chance of not being downgraded on the 2nd of June. And I know the last GDP growth number was negative and it didn't look so good, but there were really in that report signs of life and signs that this was the turning point and we've reached the bottom and now it's up, because you can tell the kind of indicators or the factors that are forward looking, like the fixed investment has turned. The rand's been stronger. Inflation's pulled back a bit. Inflation's still a bit of a worry, I think. I think Treasury and the national budget potentially were a little bit optimistic on growth and inflation, but, you know, it's all forward-looking and it's all a guess anyway. But honestly, I think there is great potential that we won't be downgraded. But these kinds of reports make me worry. I think the only thing that could make the rating agencies downgrade us potentially is kind of this politics that's going on at the moment.
I mean, look, it's great that you can say it and there is optimism, but this whole ratings thing with our country, it feels like a dog in traffic. It's going to miss a few things here and there, but it just looks at like
eventually
it's not going to work out in the long run. Cool, Anthea. So that's your Monday Finance. Back tomorrow over Skype.
Indeed. We'll speak tomorrow. Have a good day.
Fantastic. That's Anthea Gardner. You can catch all of Anthea's Monday pods right on cliffcentral.com. along with all the other big guests. Speaking of big guests today, Mark Oppenheimer is Gareth's big guest. It's a very long and meaty interview, so catch that one in the third hour. But, Mubs, that is the end of the first hour. Next hour, which is the second hour, my buddy Malloy is going to dazzle you with what's happening in the world right now. And I think Rich Mulholland will be back today, but we'll wait and see on that one. So, yeah, welcome to your Monday. Welcome to a new week. And welcome to some baby bash, just to kind of get you into things. You know, nice and slow, don't be too hectic. It's a Monday after all. And you're choosing to spend it with us, which is really great. Thank you.
Traffic ain't cool, cuz, though. No, man, you ain't lying. How long you think before we get the bash? I came to call it, pal. Hit them screens, though. CliffCentral.com